Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Damas.
Good afternoon, my good friend.
How are you doing? Are you enjoying the Labor Day?
So far, so good. Yes, you.
Lovely. Great to hear that, man. We're having a lovely, relaxed day, I must say. Now we continuing with our subject, talking about self-care and self-sacrifice, and there are three things one can do with their lives: wasted by living selfishly, wrecked by living sinfully, or give your life away by living sacrificially. Now, how do we live sacrificially, putting others ahead of ourselves in a way that will not breed resentment or abuse? Now, Pastor, how do you advise a person with a people-pleaser mentality to navigate community care and self-sacrifice?
Yes, my friend, maybe I should just say that the people-pleasing person has a tendency, you know, to prioritize others' needs over their own. And so while this desire to please can foster community and connection with people, it will eventually become problematic, you know, when we consistently neglect our own well-being for the comfort of others. And so, as you know, this behavior can lead to serious consequences for both our mental and physical health, as well as, if you are Christian, spiritual health. So maybe I should just give a few tips as to help us how to secure, you know, a good mental state. And I would like to say first, we need self-reflection and awareness of yourself, you know. Start by exploring the roots of your people-pleasing tendencies. I think that is important. And then what early experiences shaped your beliefs about relationships and self-worth? I would also maybe say to challenge your limitations when it comes to your beliefs. Identify and challenge the negative thoughts that fuel people-pleasing, but understand why you are doing this. I remember perhaps not good enough. Do you think no one will love me because if I say no? So I would suggest they must replace them with more realistic and compassionate self-talk, you know, self-talk about believing in yourself. And then develop a strong sense of self. Explore your own interests, values, and goals. You know, make what makes you unique and fulfilled. You must ask these questions. Spend time doing things you enjoy, regardless of what others think. Also, practice self-care. You know, prioritize your physical, emotional, and mental, as well as spiritual well-being. So, for example, make time for activities that nourish you, such as exercising. You know, as pastors, we need relaxation. Oh, you know, very important to also have assertiveness training. I think we spoke about setting boundaries yesterday.
Yeah.
It is always important to define your limits and communicate them assertively. So this might mean saying, I'm not available to help you with that thing right now, or I need some time to myself. Because I think that yesterday I mentioned that boundaries are not about controlling others. They're also about protecting yourself.
Maybe
I can just stop there for now. Yes.
Now, if this people pleaser is in a marriage setup, I'm sure it could be maybe causing havoc to the family.
Absolutely. Because you are not, a person like that is not mindful, you know. They will not be able to regulate their emotions as well as they should. And so I would say that you must develop skills, you know, to manage your emotions and respond to situations in a calm and rational way. But as you mentioned now, in a marriage setup, it can cause a problem for you and your family if you are a person these are all the time.
Yeah. Now, how does a Christian then deal with feelings of resentment due to feeling unappreciated or taken advantage of?
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's important to turn to God and ask Him for help, you know. To we believe in prayer, we believe in meditating in God's word. Because we can go to counselors, to biblical counselors to help us through this. But I believe God is the one that will help us dealing with that.
So if one feels that, no, man, these guys are really, this is just not fair. I'm not happy about this. They're taking advantage of me because I'm always giving and I'm always giving. So the solution is, you're saying, just turn to God. You don't have to address it.
Oh, sorry. No. Absolutely, you must address it, obviously. If people begin to take advantage of you, you must be direct in your communication. Because prioritizing the needs of others, although admirable, should not be at the expense of your emotional and physical health. But isn't to say that you shouldn't be kind and generous towards others or only think about yourself. But I will say having healthy boundaries in this case also will actually strengthen you to make healthy choices about when you can reasonably accommodate the needs and requests of others without sacrificing your own health in the process. So you must be direct, you must be intentional in communicating to the other people where you stand.
Very important, because I think if you just going to allow people to climb all over you, this week you gave this much and last week you gave this much, and you know, brethren would always come and say, Pastor, but we've got another need, another family, we now need another 2,000, and last week you already gave for the building, which was 8,000 that was requested, and that other week you gave because there was a brother who were running you know, short of money to bury their parent, and so you had to give there another 10,000, and so it goes on and on and on. If you're not going to stand up and actually say, no, gentlemen, please, I also have other responsibilities. I don't think it's rude, eh?
Absolutely no, it's not rude. As I mentioned, you need to prioritize.
Yeah.
Your needs as well, and not only other people's needs.
Now, what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? I mean, I think it is mentioned in Scripture that we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. What does that mean?
For me, being a living sacrifice means willingly, you know, dedicating every facet of your life to God. You know, as pastors, we struggle in our churches, you know, for people to understand what does it mean to be a sacrifice. We talk about stewardship and other things that also deals with sacrificing something. But it is motivated, I believe, by the mercy and the grace of God, you know, and it's enabled by the Holy Spirit. But it also involves daily decisions to honor God, you know, through moral integrity. We look at service to other people, and we look at worship, at sincere worship. God says He's looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. So that is the real sacrifice for me, giving your whole heart to God, because He is looking for the whole heart, which will enable us to giving a complete sacrifice.
And what would you say then is the main purpose of sacrifice, in your view?
You know, I'm looking at Romans 12, verse 1. It calls believers to offer their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And so this spiritual worship, I believe, involves a life of obedience, service, and praise. Because remember, the biblical concept of sacrifice, if we're going to look at Scripture, you know, it primarily serves two key purposes. And that is, number one, atonement for sins, and a demonstration of devotion to God. So the main purpose of sacrifice is actually how devoted are you towards God? Yeah.
So is the measure of your devotion to God, you say?
Yes, it is absolutely your devotion to God. And of course, when you look at the Bible, you know, through sacrifices, individuals normally sought also reconciliation with God, acknowledging their transgressions and seeking divine forgiveness, you know. But it also stems to act of worship. The purpose of sacrifice can also be how you reflect unwavering faith and commitment to God's commandments, as evident in the narratives of the Bible in Genesis 22, and when you read the book of Hebrews 11, verse 17, it calls us to the real purpose of sacrifice, and that is our act of worship. I mentioned earlier about God is looking for those who are worshiping in spirit and in truth, because that is real worship and real sacrifice.
Now, how does self-sacrificing affect the one who is sacrificing spiritually? I mean, what is there to gain, if anything at all?
I believe it affects me spiritually, because I will become eventually more like Christ, you know, his loving character. Remember, Christ was the ultimate sacrifice for us. He set the example of what the sacrifice should be when he gave him his all on the cross, that complete sacrifice. When John the Baptist says,
"Is it Christ who sacrificed?
Oh, behold, the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world." That lamb was symbolic of the sacrifice that the person would bring for the atonement of his sins. And we know, of course, Christ was the atonement of all of our sins, of humanity. But I believe also I will gain more spiritual maturity when I'm not selfish, when I'm self-sacrificial. I will eventually become more joyful. I believe I will become more complete because I serve others. You will recall, maybe agree with me, that it's always you are more happier, but I want to say that maybe the word joyful when you give, because self-sacrificing is more about giving. So the one who give will always be more blessed or joyful or happy than the person that receives when you do these self-sacrificing acts. You know, when we do outreach as a church and you see you are a benefit to someone else by your words, by your deeds, by what you give to them, you are more blessed. And so I believe my relationship with God, I think it is very important, will be healthy. When I am sacrificing myself to God, you know, I will have godly peace. I think we all would love to have peace in this sinful world. And it is the things that I believe you will gain when you are self-sacrificing yourself daily to God.
Tell me, Pastor, as I let you go, is it a good idea, really, to prioritize the needs of others over my very own needs? I'm looking at the example of Christ, who seems to have sacrificed the needs of others to be saved, other than those of him to be beside his Father and doing his godly duties. And so he sacrificed all of that and prioritized, you know, the needs of others. Would you say that this is a good example to follow, to prioritize the needs of others over our own?
I think I mentioned something earlier about, although prioritizing the needs of others, although admirable it might seem, should not be at the expense of your emotional, physical, and spiritual health. So this isn't to say that you shouldn't be kind, I mentioned earlier, I think, and you know, generous towards other people or help them or only think about yourself, but you should not at the expense of your own holistic being. Just serve other people all the time. It will not be a very smart thing on your side. I think I did mention something about having healthy boundaries, you know, will actually strengthen you to make healthy choices about when you can reasonably accommodate the needs and requests of others without sacrificing your own health in the process. So we know Christ, of course, you know, he was very unique in what he came to do. I believe he came not only to die for our sins, not just for our sins, but because of our sins. and also he came, secondly, to reveal the character of God to mankind. So he was very unique in terms of when he come to this world. And so his whole life was like a sacrifice. People ask him, when will you eat? He said, no, my meat is to do the will of the Father. But so we can easily maybe think, okay, Christ just, he never prioritized his needs above others. He was always just looking for to serve the whole time. But I think his calling is in a sense different to us, to ours. Although he got tired, he got hungry because he was God and man. But looking at him doesn't say we must just completely ignore our own emotional, physical, and spiritual state. And as I mentioned earlier, we need to have that healthy boundaries in order for me as a pastor to then be more effective in my ministry. Because I have energy, I have strength and cleanness of mind. Thank you, my friend.
We can then say, Pastor, that maybe then the example of Christ may not necessarily be practical because he literally gave everything up. I mean, here's God who is giving up his only begotten son. He had no other son to give away. And so he literally, I mean, the ultimate sacrifice for the salvation of humanity, and you know, above his own needs, to have his son co-ruling with him, because remember, he created with him in the beginning; through him, everything was made, etc., etc. The Godhead has been, you know, and had been working together, and so that sacrifice truly may not be a perfect example for humanity, can it?
Hence, I was saying earlier, we cannot really, in my view, you know, do exactly as Christ did, because his purpose, as you mentioned now, he was sent for a specific purpose to this world. Yes, we must imitate him in most of the things that he was doing, even if we have to die for the sake of the gospel, et cetera, et cetera. We need to do it. But I still believe there is a slight difference between us and Christ, as you just mentioned, also a few things there. He was very, I mean, he had to go to the wilderness. He had to fast 40 days. He was led there to be tempted by the Holy Spirit. And a lot of things I can maybe highlight why I want to say his calling is slightly different, although we must take lessons from his life. Yes, of course. Even Calvary, you know, God teaches us a lot of lessons about how we should deal with other people that ill-treated us. As you know, is now Christ intercede on behalf of the humankind when they mocked him there and teased him, you must come from the cross. He intercede on their behalf of God the Father, his Father. But I agree with you when you say that Christ doesn't necessarily mean that we must now not have merit, or we must just live a life completely in surrendering to God in terms of now what he had to deal to go through. I believe he still wants us to be smart and have those healthy boundaries in order for us to be more effective in the ministry.
Well, Pastor Amasta, thank you so much for coming through. Thank you so much for helping us understand sacrifice and, of course, self-care. Thank you so much. We're going to be connecting with you tomorrow one more time. Blessings to you until tomorrow.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.